7. And last time we got started with the first session. This is session 2, which looks at verses 7 through 12. And the title is, How Does the Law Kill? How Does the Law Kill? Let's look at the verses and read through that. So starting with verse 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, You shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. Sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, the Ten Commandments, and maybe Deuteronomy 6, we'll look at that soon, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead or inactive or dormant. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. So 100% perfect obedience to God's law, Ten Commandments, love Him all the time, those kind of things. 100%, you please God. None of us can do it. None of us could ever do it. The very commandment that promised, verse 10 again, life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. But what about me? How does the law of God, the Ten Commandments, kill? Is the law bad? Absolutely not. The law serves to define sin for me and in me. I have a certain knowledge, a consciousness of right and wrong, but now I have a rigid structure of do's and don'ts which strictly defines sin. I can no longer convince myself that I'm basically good and what I do is probably okay. I am not okay. The law defines sin and shows me that I cannot obey perfectly or consistently. In fact, as I become aware of this truth, my sin grows. What I thought was okay as I tried to get by skirting the law was not okay. It's actually very displeasing to God. So let's look at verse 8 and 9 again. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead or inactive. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. I go from life to death from the standpoint of sin and pleasing God. Apart or outside the law, sin lies dead. This means that my sin nature was dormant or inactive. But when I try to obey the commandment, the law, out of my own self-effort, my sin comes alive, and I find I am less able to please Him. I'm farther away from the perfect obedience He requires. And so verse 9 tells me that when I realize the commandment and what it requires, I find that I fail. What commandment? Certainly the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 apply, but I think the key is found in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 7. It's a familiar passage. Let's look at it. It's called the Shema, which is the Hebrew word meaning hear, because it starts with Hear, O Israel. And verse 4 in Deuteronomy 6 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can any of us do that? And with all your soul, can any of us do that? And with all your might, can any of us do that? And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Can any of us do that? And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And on it goes, giving us a list of do's that are almost impossible to do, and certainly not possible to do perfectly. So let's look again at verse 12 back in Romans 7. And it goes, So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. But what about me? The law is holy. I am not. So, Father, as we come to you with this thought, what hope do we have? You give us directions. You give us guidance and orders and laws to follow. that we cannot follow perfectly, and those that tried to follow them perfectly failed, and certainly I failed. So what hope is there for us? Well, we're going to find that out. Father, you're going to teach us through the rest of chapter 7 and then as we get into chapter 8, because there is hope that our unity with you by faith, trusting in what you do for us on the cross, your forgiving spirit, trusting in that gives us hope of a life with you. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.